and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. And it is a damn good time every time on this podcast, now sponsored by the Belching Beaver Brewery. And Brett, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're always positive, always Stros.
Alrighty, so today's episode is mostly going to be about what did Dusty Baker have to say. So we'll have a lot of thoughts by Dusty, and this is a guy who people say may be lame duck, but he's not lame duck. He can still fly, so he's still looking forward to the future. So we'll have to see what he have to say, and also we'll talk about a certain reliever the Astros may have some interest in, a guy that you may not think would have interest in coming to Houston, but we'll have to see how much the money talks. So don't forget, you can check us out daily on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the Locked On Astros podcast, and we talk about this all off season. And as always, it is a damn good time. I love the sticker. I'm going to keep on using this. And Brett, what do you think of, what's your biggest takeaway from the Dusty Baker conversation?
Well, Dusty Baker came out and hold on, stop it. Okay. I haven't even read these comments yet. You're just throwing it to something I don't know anything about right now.
All right. So let's go and take a look at some Dusty Baker's comments. And he said that the Astros are mostly seeking bullpen help. After a season where they had to rely on a lot of young players, they want to add somebody at the back end of the bullpen to maybe get the job done in big situations. But this is what he actually had to say. He said, it is no secret. We are talking to some people now. You know, there hasn't been much movement, not a bunch of players signing. But I imagine the next couple of weeks, there'll be some movements. And once some of the big boys or the so-called big boys get signed, then everyone else will probably check to see how the market is. That is what I say almost every time once the big boys get signed. So Dusty Baker is Eric Heisman. That you heard that here on Talking on Locked On Astros. And we did this whole intro like three or four times because I was trying to do something different, but I'm all messed up. But Dusty Baker, he's out there and he's still sticking up for his niños, and that is his three new adopted sons, which are Framer Valdez, Nolly Paredes, and Christian Javier. And he said that they did such a great job last year. I know Paredes is in the bullpen, but Valdez and Javier look to be in rotation, but they do need to add some veteran players in the Astros bullpen. And there's a big name that's come out recently. We'll get back to while we're on the bullpen talk, we'll talk about some more of what Dusty Baker had to say earlier. But who are the Astros reportedly interested in right now, Brett?
Well, Jeff Passan of ESPN has reported that the Astros and the Dodgers have now come into the mix to be one seeking Liam Hendricks services. He's seeking a four-year deal, and they're looking for damn good time doing it. But the past two seasons, he's really been one of the best relievers in baseball. He has a 1.79 ERA and 110.1 relief innings since 2019. In that time, Hendricks has struck out 38% of opposing hitters with a 5.7% walk rate, and he's held batters to a 192, 240, 289 slash line. No reliever outside of him with a minimum of 50 innings has a better ballpark adjusted ERA. The only other is Josh Hader, Nick Anderson, and Kirby Yates, but they have a higher strikeout minus walk percentage. So what does this mean for the Astros? If the Astros want him, Eric, they're going to have to sign him to a big deal, a four-year deal. Right now, his market value is right at about $15.5 million, according to SportTrack.
Dang.
And yeah, it's 15.5. And it is going to take, I believe, $65 million in order to sign him. And I mean, you know, here's the thing. Like, I know we got Anoli Paredes, and I know we have Ryan Pressly. I know you mentioned him on the last podcast. But Ryan Pressly, I'm sorry, he's not a closer. Ryan Pressly is a setup guy. Ryan Presley's strength is a setup guy. And if you're going to get someone like Liam Hendricks, actually it says 4 years, $62.1 million is what his overall market value is. But so if we sign him, okay, I think you count Michael Brantley out, because you still have to sign someone else in center field. And Jackie Bradley Jr., who a lot of people want, is not going to be near the price that that you are going to sign Brantley for. So if closers are top priority, then Brantley goes down the list of priorities. If you can get a closer for about $7 million less than the 15.5, then you can still bring Brantley in the mix. But, you know, Eric, if he's been the most reliable closer for 2 years, you know, we know these closers. We saw it with, you know, Wagner, who had, you know, several good years. We saw it with Brad Lidge. We saw it with some guys that had shorter stints of success. You know,
do you remember the Giles?
No. Talking about Ken Giles. Well, for him, even in the odd times of the Astros baseball.
Octavio Dotel.
So
don't tell me that.
Well, here's the thing. We've had our history of relievers that have had long stretches of success and short stretches of success. I think Liam Hendricks, being 32, doing a four-year deal, I think he gives you 2.5 to 3 solid years and a serviceable fourth year if he's still doing what he's doing.
So he's a Josh Reddick of the bullpen is what you're saying.
No, he's much more valuable.
Well, when you signed Josh Reddick, you signed him for the first 2 years because that's his prime. And so what you're saying is that the Astros are going to sign Hendricks. The only way they could get him is by doing that four-year deal. So if he's going to be your closer, your top-notch closer for 2 years, and then after that, if he kind of fades, he kind of fades. But that's the risk you have to take. And just ask the Angels for what they did with Albert Pujols. They signed him when he was at the peak of his career, but things just kind of went downhill. So the fact that he's 32 gives me some pause. The fact that the Astros haven't done a big deal like that since Josh Reddick, which is why I kind of brought that name up. And so that's a big ask. That's 16.5 million per year. Larry the GM said there's about 20, maybe 25 million in the budget, depending on who you're listening to or what you're looking at. But that doesn't leave a lot of room to go get outfielders or anything like that. So that kind of made everything we talked about yesterday about Real Muto just make it not seem very realistic. But same time, we do need part of this podcast is we have to talk about these rumors, whether they're founded or not. But we got to kind of talk about this stuff. So any closing comments about Hendricks?
Well, I just, you know, if you look at his WAR in 2019, it was 3.45. That's pretty strong for a closer. That was his career high. In 2020, it was 1.37, and that was only with 25 innings pitched. He had 14 saves, 1.78 ERA. I mean, whatever he's done, because when you go back to 2018, 2017, his ERA was a little over 4. You go all the way back to when he was in Toronto, because he started in Minnesota, then he moved to Toronto, then he went to Oakland. And in Toronto, he had a 5.25 and a 2.92. He dropped about 3 points off of that ERA. I think whatever Hendricks has done to find what he's found with mixing with Brent Strom, having setup men, I mean, everybody's using it. We know that. I mean, this is a fact, you know, and this is why baseball has a mess on its hands when it tries to take a singular incident and make it the problem when they have a much bigger underlying problem. It's kind of like, Eric, it makes me think of when I'm doing like yard work. And if you have big stones in your yard and you pick up a stone and what's under that stone, it's like dead grass or you got bugs, you got, you know, sometimes you see earthworms, some, you know what I'm saying? You got tree roaches, all these different things that are under there, but you never see the underbelly because you never lift up the rock. I feel like if they really expose baseball for what was going on and what's been going on for years with cheating across the board, I don't think a lot of people would like what they see. So I'm still not buying this talk that the Astros ruined the game. I think that's total bullcrap. But that's beside the point.
Yeah. You know what, Brett? I just wish all baseball fans, whether you're a Cleveland, soon to be something else fan, or if you're a Red Sox fan, a Dodgers fan, Angels fan, whatever type of fan, why don't you just have a damn good time? Go to the Belching Beaver Brewery and just share some stories over a cold one. Don't you think that they should do that?
They should. And since we're talking about off-season acquisitions, we've made an off-season acquisition of our own. We decided to tender a contract with Belching Beaver Brewery. The brewery was created from a desire to create great beer and have damn good times. They launched in 2012, Eric. I don't know if y'all see our swag on here, but if you're watching, we got Belching Beaver hats. I got the shirt. My wife's got her shirt. We've got stickers. They sent us a care package. It's amazing. Theirs is an award-winning craft beer while also being whimsical and fun to inspire good times to be had by all. They've partnered recently with the Deftones to create Phantom Bride, and I'm going to tell you about that. It was named after their ethereal song of the Deftones called Phantom Bride IPA. It's a blend of Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe, and Mosaic hops, delectably balanced for the perfectly drinkable mix of citrus and hoppy goodness. A truly original Deftones Belching Beaver collaboration envisioned by Chino Moreno himself and skillfully crafted by Thomas Peters. Sit back, put your headphones on and drink away and listen to this, Texas. You're going to have damn good times because coming this spring, they look to be putting locations in Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. In the meantime, go to their website, belchingbeaver.com, and check out their amazing varieties and go have a damn good time.
You are really good with that. I keep on holding up a sticker and Brett keeps on saying it every time I hold up the sticker and he kind of works it into his thing.
So. I would be a perfect, I would be a perfect live audience member. Like, you know how they have the shows and they're like clap now or, you know, I would have knocked that out of the park. I should have done that as a career growing up.
Something that we've been kind of talking about this offseason was, do the Astros need another starter? And Dusty Baker was kind of asked about that. And he said, well, you want a good starter. A veteran would help. A guy with a bright future would also help at the same time. You're always looking for pitching, right? Right now, we are looking to shore up our bullpen probably first. Yes, that is the most obvious statement that Dusty Baker can say. I think the Astros rotation is good right now. I know it's not as strong as if Justin Verlander was in a rotation, but you're not going to be able to go out there and get a Trevor, Tyler, whatever his name, Bauer. And so I don't think the Astros need to invest a lot of money out there unless you want to go get Mike Fiers for cheap. I'm kidding.
I was trying to ignore that. I was double taking in my mind mentally. I'm like,
so anyway,
that would be the worst.
Yes, it would. So when asked about George Springer and Michael Brantley, this is what Dusty Baker had to say. He said that he has contacted them in recent weeks, but doesn't want to be a bother. Recruiting pitches aren't his thing. So this is what he actually said. You realize that this is a big turning point in their lives, which is going to affect our life. And at some point, you just have to go home and live your life. And then hopefully some things will kind of work themselves out. Well, thank you, Dusty Baker. I think that is a perfect comment for my life right now. So thank you about that. And it applies to baseball, Eric's personal life, everything. But anything that kind of jumps out to you about that?
No, just the fact that he didn't say a thing. He basically didn't say anything.
He did the total Dusty Baker thing. Just like he says one thing and then goes back to it at the very end.
he is the John Madden of Major League Baseball. You know, I would love to hear Dusty Baker do commentary for baseball games, and maybe he has, I just haven't heard it. But he also mentioned the COVID-19 situation. If I could share that with our listeners. He says, I don't even know where baseball is on the list of getting the vaccine. We just have to see after the first of the year. I'm not really sure. We don't even know if we're going to spring training. I haven't heard. We don't know if we're going to play 162 game schedule, 140. There's a lot of stuff still up in the air, and a lot of it is still has to do with the COVID situation. Now, Eric, I'll tell you this. I actually had a conversation today with the owner of the Sugar Land Skeeters, Kevin Zlotnick. And I had met him, I guess, about a year and a half ago when we were doing some stuff for Stros 411. And he did tell me today on the phone that Major League Baseball, as far as he's concerned, is fully intentional on starting on the date that is on all the calendars, that they don't have any intentions of not playing baseball. And they have intentions and they're getting plans together to put fans in the seats. While that's not like an ironclad 100% stamp, he did say that that is definitely something that, you know, is in the nuts and the bolts of it. And to mention him, we're actually going to have him on next week. He's going to join the show. He's going to talk about the Skeeters. He's going to talk about, you know, what advantage it gives to the Houston Astros having a team so close. And we'll get into some of the particulars about COVID-19, about vaccines, about seasons and stuff like that. I'm sure he'd be willing to talk about that. But at the end of the day, we don't know. We have to proceed forward as if there is going to be a season. Baseball financially, Eric, cannot take another season without fans in the stands. It's just not fiscally possible. If you do it for a second year in a row, you are going to have teams that are going to file bankruptcy. They're going to fold. You know, bad stuff's going to happen. The players will still get paid,
right?
But the ball clubs won't be able to survive.
Yeah, that's the thing a lot of people are looking at, and I know that the minor league plans were in the works before, but a lot of this was kind of accelerated, like we talked about before, because of the pandemic and everybody just trying to save a buck because you're losing a buck for those dollar hot dogs for all those days that people can't go. So you got to make that up somewhere else. So I do agree with that there's probably going to be a season. I don't think it's be a shortened season unless there is a like shutdown or anything, but that's down the road. But speaking of minor league teams, the Asheville Tourist president came on. He didn't come on, but he came out today and said that we are excited to partner with the Houston Astros. We were an affiliate with them a long time ago. Craig Biggio's first professional team in 1987 was the Asheville Tourist. So it's good that we have another kind of old minor league team coming back into the fold. But it's kind of interesting how two of the Astros minor league teams are in Texas. The other two are in North Carolina. And that is for travel. And you're not going to have a lot of people going from Class A to Houston. But you could have some people going from Corpus Christi or Sugar Land, which is a really close drive. I actually need to get down there to that field. So hopefully we'll get to go watch some of the games this year and see what that stadium's about. I heard it's beautiful. I just haven't had a chance to make it down there. So go ahead.
And you know who played for the Asheville Tourists, right? Craig Biggio.
Oh, Craig Biggio. And hey, by the way, Craig Biggio played for the Tourists. And
sorry, I had to get you back.
And he's 55 years old. So happy birthday today. Or this is Tuesday. No, Monday. This is Monday. Sorry. You got me all confused with the days and everything. Just stop the dust in my head. But when Dusty Baker was asked if he's going to come back after this season, like he said, he doesn't know about what the season's going to be like. But he also said at one point, he says, well, it depends on how the team feels about me. So if the team doesn't want him back, then I guess he's going to retire. But
here's the thing. In 2022, when we get to that point, that's going to be after the collective bargaining agreement. I I guess I'm assuming is going to be settled, hopefully. I'm kind of scared of that whole thing. Hey, I'm going to pause here. We haven't talked about this because no one's talking about it. The letter was, they went before the appellate court today, the second court of appeals, or U.S. second court of appeals, whatever it's called. And there was like a 45 minute argument. And the summary of the event, the 45 minute event, was the judge said, I think you need to open the letter. And the Yankees are like, we don't think we need to open the letter. And then the judge is like, well, we're going to let you know at a later date whether we're going to open the letter. And that's pretty much what happened. And so we're wondering, why don't the Yankees want this letter to be opened? And I think, I really hope something comes out soon, because I know I'm curious. But I mean, there's so many things out there, you know, this is a slow off season, but there are a lot of things out there that we can talk about and hit on. And so we're glad that y'all listen. I'm sorry to get off track there, but I was like, wait, we haven't even talked about this. Like, you notice that Passan and Buster Olney and none of the national guys are right. even talking about that.
Right. Yeah. I think I put a little note on here today that I forgot who saw this, but I saw this on Twitter and I thought it was an interesting thing to note. He said that one of the most interesting parts of today's hearing was when a judge questioned whether bettors would have sued MLB and complained about sign stealing if they had won money betting games that the Astros cheated on.
Ah, interesting.
So,
Oh, how the turntables.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes, Michael. But anyway, Michael Scott, I couldn't remember his last name for a second there. But
Michael Gary Scott, get it right.
Okay. So, I think that of the rumors we've heard, I think that Hendricks is most likely one. I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is another one that's kind of a likely target. But if you do that, if you go out and get Jackie Bradley Jr. and Hendricks, I think the Astros are probably done for the offseason. They may bring in a veteran like a.
Yeah, I don't see how you would have room to go anywhere else, because if you're paying him 15 and you're giving, I mean, you're going to have to give Bradley what, 7 or 8, right? Aren't you?
Minimum. You know, I think he's going to be wanting like 10, 11 or something.
Yeah. I don't see him getting that much. I don't see Jackie Bradley.
He's a good defender. He can catch those balls in outfield and not hit the walls and not knock themselves out. And
well, no, true. And you know what? So I'm being more accurate about it. I want to see what his worth is, what his value is.
$5 million.
Is it five?
I don't
know. Did you look it up?
No.
Oh, you're just making that crap up. Okay, here it is. Okay, so his market value is, I thought it was 8. Okay, it's 11.2.
That's what I thought, it was about 11.
Okay, I couldn't remember. So here's the thing. Can we sign both of those guys? 11.2 and 15?
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
That's 26.
26. I mean, depends. Depends on how, but they've got to do something. You can't get people out of the dollar bargain bin and expect them to contribute. That a minor league prospect can't do. But the reason why you bring these guys in is, especially Jackie Bradley Jr., you want to rely on people like Ronnie Dawson and Chaz McCormick and even Miles Straw to a certain extent. But you don't want to have to be forced to use them. You want them to come up when there's a time of need and come up and shine. And so maybe spring training comes around and they still don't have that third outfielder or whatever. They go out and they sign another veteran, somebody that gets cut. But or maybe somebody opens their eyes, like Ronnie Dawson just comes out and hits homer after homer. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, guys like Kevin Pillar. I mean, there are guys out there, Eric, that – and here's the thing, if you want your center fielder just to be a glove, why the hell don't just go get Jake Marisnyk? I know his bat is not the most desirable.
They can't afford his hair anymore.
Oh, dude, he's so cheap right now, man. He's only $2 or $3 million. He is a bargain bin player. He is He is the DVD rack in the middle of Walmart. That's like those DVDs $30. Yeah, less than $5. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying there are people out there.
Brett. Sorry. When's the last time you bought one of those DVDs?
3 years ago, when I had to buy the Alamo movie for class.
Boom. So that was 3 years ago. So why is that good value now?
Why is it good value now? What I'm saying is,
I know, I'm just giving you crap.
Okay, well, but if you, jerk, if you sign these guys
right
to these big contracts, you know, well, here's the thing, Jackie Bradley Jr., if you do get him, I don't know, I just.
It's going to be tight. Maybe sometime after all our guests, we can maybe get Larry GM to come back on and explain the payroll, the projected payroll or whatever, now that the Astros have settled with Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa, we have maybe a more accurate thing. But I think that's all we got for tonight. We have some special guests coming up. I know tomorrow we have Bill Brown coming on, right?
That's right. Bill Brown, former commentator for the Houston Astros. And he just recently wrote a book called Broadcasting 101. We'll have him talk about that a little bit. And then we have our man, Clay Hensley, World Series champion, going to give us the pros perspective on his segment.
Yes. And we have some other interesting guests coming up, and you can always listen to Eric and Brett on the Locked On Astros podcast daily. So we will talk to you tomorrow, and go Astros, and Dusty Baker, you do you.